Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson for drum and bass, and we're going to build what I call dub chambers from scratch, specifically for DJ-friendly sets. The whole idea here is simple, but the results feel expensive. A dub chamber is a send and return effect that behaves like a physical space and an instrument at the same time. You don't just add reverb. You play the room. You hit it with a sound. Automate the send like a trigger. And the chamber throws back tempo-locked echoes and gray space that can carry transitions, build tension, and make outros and intros blend ready without smearing your drop. We're aiming for rolling DNB tempos around 170 to 176 BPM. I'm going to set the session to 174 as a sweet spot. And we're building two returns. Return A is the clean-to-dark dub chamber. It's your main space, controlled and musical. Return B is the dub smash chamber, crunchier, more aggressive, for snare bombs, stabs, vocal chops, and those everybody look over here moments. As we go, keep this mindset. The return is a bus instrument, not an ambience. The send amount is basically note on. Feedback and decay are note length. That one concept will immediately make your effects more intentional and more DJ-friendly. All right, let's set up the session. Set tempo to 174 BPM. Now for routing, keep it clean. Group your drums into a drum bus, your basses into a bass bus, and your musical elements into a music bus. Tabs, pads, vocals, whatever you've got. Create two return tracks. Name them Return A and Return B. One more thing that matters a lot in dense DNB mixes: headroom. On both return tracks, pull the return faders down to about minus 6 dB to start. I want you to get used to the idea that returns are not supposed to be louder than your dry mix. If the returns are exciting, you'll be tempted to crank them. Resist that urge. We'll calibrate properly. Now build return A. Dub chamber, clean to dark. First device, utility, set gain to minus 6 dB. This is your first safety net, and it also keeps you honest while you're building. Next, EQ 8. We're immediately removing low end. Put a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave at about 180 Hz. In DNB, this is non-negotiable. If you let subs and kick fundamentals into a big echo and reverb chain, you don't get big. You get mod and a disappearing kick. Optionally, add a gentle bell dip around 300 to 450 Hz, maybe minus 2 to minus 4 dB, hue around 1.2. That range is where boxy room energy piles up, especially when you start layering delay into reverb. Next device, echo. This is the engine of the chamber. Turn sync on. Set the time to 1/8 dotted. At 174, that's the classic fast but treatable DNB space. If you want bigger throws, you can switch to 1/4 later, but start with 1/8 dotted to keep it tight and rhythmic. Set feedback around 35 to 55%. Don't go crazy yet. We'll automate it later for throw moments. Now the important part, the filters inside echo. Low cut around 250 to 400 Hz, and high cut somewhere around 4.5 to 8k Hz. You're shaping the feedback loop here. Teacher note, if your repeats get fizzier and fizzier as the feedback rises, that's usually because the high cut is too open inside the delay. You can EQ after the reverb all day, but the real problem is the tone feeding back into itself. So get used to filtering inside echo. Add a bit of modulation, like 10 to 20%, just enough movement to keep it alive. Set stereo width around 110 to 140%. Wide, but not so wide it gets facey and weird when summed. And because this is a return, set dry/wet to 100%. Next device. Saturator. This is the glue and the talk. Choose soft sign or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip. Then pull down the output so it's roughly the same loudness as bypassed. We're not trying to make it louder. We're trying to make it more present and more intelligible in a heavy mix. Next device. Hybrid reverb. This is the chamber part. Choose room or chamber. Set decay around 1.0 to 1.8 seconds. That range is DNB friendly because it gives you vibe without turning the track into a fog machine 24/7. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds so your transient reads first, then the room answers. Size around 30 to 50%. Damping. Increase it until the top isn't fizzy. Dry/wet stays at 100%. Also notice the order. Delay first, reverb second. That's a dub classic. The repeats smear into one coherent space, which makes it feel like a real environment, not two separate effects stacked. Next device. Compressor for sidechain ducking. This is how the chamber breathes with the drums and stays out of the way of the drop. Enable sidechain. Set audio from to your drum bus, or even better, a kick and snare bus if you have one. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds. Release 80 to 160 milliseconds. Set threshold so you're getting roughly 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. This is not just protection, it's musical. If your ducking feels like it's wobbling or pumping awkwardly, the first thing you tweak is release time. At 174, something like 100 to 140 milliseconds often feels right. And if the ducking is reacting too much to hats and ghost notes, sidechain from snare only instead of the full drum bus. That makes the chamber tuck around the backbeats and stay present between them. Last device on return A, auto filter. Set it to a low pass, 12 dB slope. Start the cutoff around 8 to 12 kHz. Resonance around 5 to 15%. This filter is your performance control. One sweep turns bright chamber into smoky dub, instantly. At this point, return A is done. It's tempo locked, filtered, harmonically rich, and it ducks with the drums so you can be dramatic without wrecking the punch. Now return B, dub smash, crunchy tape. This one is for impact throws. It should sound intentional, almost like another instrument stabbing into the mix. Start with EQ8, high pass at around 220 to 300 Hz, 24 dB per octave. Even more aggressive than return A, we're keeping the low end completely out. Optionally, add a small presence boost, 1 to 2 dB around 1.5 to 3 kHz. This helps throws read on big systems, especially in a busy club mix. Next, echo again, but shorter and more intense. Set time to 1/16 or 1/8. Feedback 50 to 70%. Darker filter than return A, so set high cut around 3 to 6 kHz. If you want movement, add a touch of wobble. Keep it subtle. Next, distortion. If you have roar, use it with a tape or drive style. Drive should be tasteful but obvious. You want edge, not total destruction. Tilt tone darker if cymbals get spicy. If you don't have roar, do it with saturator and maybe pedal lightly. Same goal. Grit that survives a heavy mix. Next, hybrid reverb. Short but dense. Decay 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 0 to 10 milliseconds. Keep it darker. The goal is a thwack of space, not a long tail. Finally, limiter. Put the ceiling at minus 1 dB. This is not for loudness. It's for safety, because return B will get cranked at some point, and you don't want accidental send spikes to become a jump scare. Now you've got your two chambers. Next we make them DJ friendly, and this is where a lot of producers level up fast. We're going to use pre-fader and post-fader send strategically. Post-fader is the default. That means if you mute or fade the channel, the send follows. Great for normal mixing. Pre-fader is the DJ trick. Pre-fader means the send keeps going even if you pull the channel down. That's how you do ghost throws. You slam a snare into the chamber at the end of a phrase. Then you pull the snare down, but the tail continues into the transition. It sounds clean, professional, and it makes outros basically mix themselves. So enable the pre/post switches in Ableton's return section. Pick at least one key throw source. Often that's a snare fill track, a stab track, or a vocal chop track. Set its send to pre-fader. Quick example. At the end of 16 bars, crank send A on the snare for one hit, then immediately pull the snare fader down. The dub chamber keeps echoing into the breakdown, while your dry snare disappears. That's the ghost throw. Now let's talk throw workflow, because the biggest mistake is leaving reverb on all the time. Indeed NB, constant reverb equals smaller drums. We want moments. In arrangement view, automate send levels like spikes. Think of it like tapping the chamber. A good starting move, on bar 16, take a snare hit and spike send B up to maybe minus 3 dB or even 0 dB just for that hit. Then snap it back down to minus infinity immediately after. That's your impact throw. Then do a different one. Bar 16 or bar 8, spike send for a cleaner, more spacious throw. And here's a power technique. Automate feedback on the return for only the moment. Keep echo feedback at, say, 40% normally. Then for one bar, bump it to 60 or 70%, then bring it back. That's how you get escalation without runaway chaos. Coach note, if you automate feedback up, automate the echo high cut down at the same time. More feedback, darker tone. That's how you stop cymbal hash from building up in the loop. Now let's make this performable. We're going to create a DJ macro approach. On return A, group your devices into an auto effect rack. Now map a few macros. Macro 1 can be throw amount. You can map it to the output utility gain for overall return level. Or, if you're careful, map it to echo feedback. Mapping feedback is more dramatic, but also more dangerous. If you do that, make sure you've got safety like the return fader headroom and a limiter later in the chain. Macro 2 is darkness. Map it to the auto filter cutoff. Macro 3 is tail length. Map it to hybrid reverb decay, maybe from 1.0 up to 2.2 seconds, so you can extend the room in builds and shorten it in drops. Macro 4 is width. Map it to echo stereo or utility width control if you add one. Now you've got a performance instrument. One or two macros and you can move between tight drop settings and foggy blend out settings without hunting around. Even better, create a few predictable return states. Think like a DJ and save settings you can trust. State 1. Tight, bright, short, for during drops. State 2. Darker and slightly longer, for builds. State 3. Longest and most filtered, for blend out fog. Predictability is what makes transitions feel confident. Let's go into arrangement ideas where these dub chambers really shine. First, the 16-bar DJ intro. Start minimal, hats and percussion, plus a stab every couple bars. Keep return a subtle on the stabs, maybe send around minus 18 to minus 12 dB. Every 4 bars, do one snare throw to return B so the intro has punctuation. Keep bass mostly dry. This is key. Bass plus reverb is how you lose power on a club system. Next, pre-drop tension. In the last 8 bars before the drop, slowly darken return with the filter. Increase sends on vocal chops slightly. Keep sidechain ducking active so the snare stays clear and the chamber fills the gaps instead of stepping on hits. Next, the DJ outro. Make it 16 to 32 bars. Pull bass out first, then strip musical elements, keep drums rolling. Use pre-fader throws so echoes and reverb carry the vibe even as you pull channels down. Last 4 bars, one big snare throw to return B, cut the source and let the tail be the glue for the blend into the next track. Now, common mistakes to avoid, because these will absolutely ruin the point of the whole setup. Mistake 1. Sending sub or bass into the chamber. Fix it with high-pass filters on returns and disciplined sends on bass. If you want bass movement, do it with dedicated bass processing, not the main chamber. Mistake 2. Return too loud. Fix it by calibrating. Here's a pro calibration routine. Pick one reference sound, usually a snare or stab. Set its send to what you consider full throw, often around minus 6 to minus 3 dB. Then adjust the return chain gain so that full throw sits perfectly in the mix. After that, you don't touch the return fader mid-set. You just perform sends and macros. This audio version is shortened for playback.